past in verse number 1, verse number 2, verse number 3 talks about how that we walk according to the course of this world. Then in verse number 4 it said, but God. I'm glad God can butt in, can't he? But God, who is rich in mercy and His great love, wherein He loved us. In Genesis chapter number 20, Abraham made a mistake there. He had his wife lie, you know. He said, tell Abimelech that you're my sister. And she did. And Abimelech took Sarah. And then, I think it's about verse 3 or verse 4, it said, but God. But God told Abimelech, you're but a dead man. And God butted in and fixed Abraham's mistake. God can butt in to end your life if He wants to. He told Abimelech, you're but a dead man. Then that's Genesis 20, Genesis 50, I believe. You know the story of Joseph. Joseph had been in Egypt, sold into bondage, into slavery, at the age of 17, and he'd been there all the way to the age of 30. And finally, his brothers, just as he said would happen, come and bowed before him, wanting corn, hearing that there was corn in Egypt. And he eventually revealed himself unto them, and he said, you meant it unto me for evil. He said, but God. Meant it unto good. God can butt into better your life. That's what He did in my life. He can butt in. And Exodus 13. Children of Israel's coming out of Egypt. And it's probably 11-day journey. 11-day journey, go this way. That's the way I would have wanted, the easy way. Go this way, 11-day journey. It said, but God led them the way of the wilderness. God can butt into detour your life. David, King David, wanted to build the temple. I mean, he said, it's in my heart. To build the house of God, it's in my heart. He said, but the Bible said, but God said unto David, I'm not going to build my house. God can butt in and control your life. Maybe in your heart, you think it's right. Surely it's right. You know, this is for you, God. But God said, you're not going to build it. You're a man of war. God can butt in. He can butt in and save you. What He did, I was going down a road. I'd heard the night before a clear presentation of the gospel. I got under old time Mount Sinai conviction and sitting toward the back of the church, and God inviting me to come. He showed me that I had sinned against Him and was on my way to hell. And I rejected and refused the call. They extended the invitation that night, and I thought to myself, if I can ever get out of this place, I'll never be back. And I was mad. I was mad about it. And so, finally, they quit. And I darted out of that place, and I said, I'll never be back. I mean, I'll never be back to church. They'll never get me back in that situation again. And I got away from the preacher. I got away from the invitation song. I got away from the church, but I could not get away from God. And I was headed home on Highway 41, an old hot rod Mustang, and usually been going fast. The chief of police there, he stopped me 3 times, and he went to my daddy and he said, if I stop him again, I'm taking that car. He said, you better slow him down. That night he didn't have to worry about it. I was probably going 15, 20 miles an hour. Seatbelt on, worried about going to hell. And I done moved out in the apartment there, and I remember unlocking the door of that apartment and falling on my face. Didn't know what to say. I probably didn't say it right, but my heart was reaching out to God. Amen. And He saved me that night. What did He save you from? Well, He saved me from my sin. That's what salvation is, ain't it? Salvation separates a man from the judgment of God. Salvation separates a man from the wrrath of God. Matthew 1, verse 21, in the portion of that verse, you shall call His name Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sin. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, He said, I delivered you first of all. I delivered you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin, according to the Scripture. How that He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Now they just preach on a free ticket to heaven, a pie in the sky when you die. And anybody would take that. Nobody wants to die in their sin. But it seems like the world wants to live in it. Nobody wants to be saved from their sin. Isn't that right? In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bore our sin in his own body on a tree. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes we're healed. That's what he died for, ain't it? That's what you saved from. He said in John 5 to that man at the pool of Bethesda, go and sin no more. He said in John 8 to that woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. I believe that when you get saved, you're saved from the penalty of sin, but also the pleasure of sin. And if you ain't saved from the pleasure of sin, you wouldn't go to heaven if you was going to die tonight. I don't believe you would. I'm not saying you can't sin. I'm just saying you don't want to sin. Romans 7, Paul said, for to will is present with me. What he's saying, if I had my way, I'd be perfect. Is that right, preacher? And then 1 Peter 3, verse number 18. He said, for Christ once suffered for sin. The just for the unjust. They might bring us to God. That's what salvation does. He reconciles man back to God. Amen. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Ecclesiastes 9, let's look at verse number 12. Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 12. It's good to be saved. Amen. And being saved, Brother Mitchell, he says this. He said, being saved, you're saved from sin. You're saved, and being saved from sin, you're saved from the judgment of God. Being saved from the judgment of God, he said, you're saved from the wrath of God. Being saved from wrath, you're saved from hell. Yes, we are saved from hell, but it's on down the list, ain't it? Amen. Thank God that we are saved from hell. And being saved from hell, we're saved unto heaven. And so I'm glad that salvation is a supernatural work of God. It's the life of God in the soul of man. And I appreciate that about salvation. He changed my life that night for time and eternity. I'm not the same. Amen. And ever since he saved me, he's been saving on me, working on me, and I appreciate the goodness of God. It's good to be here. First time I've been in these neck of the woods here. Never been to this church. I know your pastor. I met him over the past couple of years, two or three, and he's a good brother. Appreciate him. I got to hear him preach for the first time, been in meetings with him. I've known he was a preacher, but I got to hear him at the old Kentucky camp meeting. And I found out that your pastor can preach. Amen. He can preach. I mean, you couldn't tell that by looking at him. Amen. But you'd tell it by listening to him. Amen. But he's asked me to pray about this message, and I told him I would. And God's give us liberty, and I'm just kidding with you, Pastor. He's going to set me down if I keep on. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and the verse number 12. If you stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, it is count meeting. It's set down, stand up, you know. Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 12, he said, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in the evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Let's pray, then you can be seated. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for so great of a salvation. Thank you, God, for this place, an old-fashioned church. Thank you, Lord, for a man of God that preaches the truth and allowing us the opportunity to be a part of this meeting. I pray, God, that I would preach for you tonight, and I pray, God, that I would please you, Lord, with what I say. Let me say everything you want me to say. God, watch the words of my mouth, God, I pray. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me, God. Let me feel your presence, Lord, as I preach. Let me know, God, while I'm preaching, that I'm doing right. God, put your approval on it, Lord, and I pray that you'd help the people. God, if there be one here that needs help, God, help them. Lord, if there's one here, God, that needs to be saved, God, I pray that you deal with their heart and give them the boldness and the courage, God, to walk the aisle tonight and get saved and receive you, receive eternal life. God, it'll be the best night of their life, the best day of their life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. As we look here in this verse, we see that there is a comparison made between these fishes taken in an evil net, and these birds that are caught in a snare, and that we see that comparison between that and men, the Bible said, being snared in an evil time or being trapped, spiritually speaking. And so if this verse gives that comparison, then that gives me a right to give the same comparison in preaching. We find out throughout the Bible that comparison is made. The word trout or trouts in some form is in your King James Bible 5 times, but the word snare or snares is found in your Bible some 70 times. And here is this comparison. And I want to say that if there's a trap set for men, then we must know and realize that somebody set that trap. And somebody set it on purpose, and they had a purpose for setting it, and they are, it could be titled, the Trapper Man. And so with that said, that's what I want to preach on. That's what I titled this message. I want to preach on the Trapper Man this evening. Now, I'm from the hills of Tennessee, there in East Tennessee. My daddy, he is a Trapper Man. He's licensed with the state of Tennessee, and that's what he does in the winter months. And he also does it at other times. He traps in the winter months, and he catches coyotes. He catches bobcats, and he'll catch go and do some water trapping. He'll catch beavers and river otters and so on and so forth, and he sells their hide. He catches them and skins them and sells their hide, makes a profit doing that. Then at other times, people call him for like land management, and he'll, if they have a coyote problem, if it's a deer lease, a hunting lease, they'll hire him to come in and catch all the coyotes if they're killing all the fawns out and things like that. Or he'll go to a farm where the beavers are flooding the fields, and he'll catch out the beavers out, you know, of the river and the creeks and keep them from damming up the river. And so he knows something about trapping, and I go with him sometime. And that's where I've got this. God has allowed me to experience that, and he's given me this message in comparison with the scripture to preach to you and try to expose the trapper man that we've got to deal with. There's a trapper man that's setting traps to catch you. He's targeted you. He wants to ruin your ministry. He wants to ruin your children. He's wanting to mess this church up. He's wanting to split this church. He's wanting your marriage to end in divorce. He's wanting to disqualify preachers. He's wanting to get the young people out of church. He's wanting to cause the young people to marry wrong and marry the wrong person. He's wanting young people to go to the wrong college and all of these things. He's wanting to young people to get addicted to drugs. He's wanting the young people to get addicted to pornography. He's the trapper man. He's wanting to make liberals out of our young people. Hey man, he's wanting to make sodomites out of you boys. He's wanting to make lesbians out of you girls. He's the trapper man. And it is a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual battle. And I know that we live in the realm of the physical, and that's all we can see. And we think that's all there is to it. But I want to say there is a spiritual war that takes place. We cannot see it, but we can see the results of it. We cannot see the battle when it happens, but we can see the aftermath of the battle when it happens. And we know through the scripture that it is a spiritual warfare. The Bible said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." The Bible said against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're wrestling against. Amen. And it's a spiritual war. In Daniel 9, we see that spiritual battle that took place there. Daniel had received that dream, that vision. And God, he prayed for the interpretation of it. God sent the messenger to give him the message. And that message and that messenger was hindered for 21 days by the prince of Persia, an angel, a fallen angel, if you will, that was set over that nation to influence that nation to do evil, withstood that messenger. And for 21 days, his hand-to-hand combat. You say, "I don't believe it." It's in the Bible. You better believe it. Amen. It's a reality. So we know about sin. And we know our greatest problem is our flesh. And it's this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Our flesh is our biggest problem, and we can get caught up in the course of sin, in the motions of sin, and we can fall into that, and we can sin against God in that. But I will tell you also that there's one that is targeting you. He's setting traps for you. He wants you to fall. He wants to mess up your testimony, and he wants to mess it all up. Amen. He is the trapper man. And we see the Bible talks about him setting his traps. Jeremiah 5 verse 26. The Bible said they set a trap. They set a trap. They catch men. Joshua 23 verse 13 talking about the nation of Israel marrying into the enemy nations. He said, when you do that, they shall be snares and traps unto you. In Job 22, verse number 10, Job said, in those verses, the Word of the Lord said, therefore snares are about thee. I mean, traps set already to destroy you. Brother Harvey, traps set for you. Traps have been set for you. Traps set for me. Traps set for this church, spiritually speaking. Now, who is this trapper man that I'm preaching about tonight? The Bible said in Peter verse 5, chapter 5 verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. He said in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 that it said he may fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. It said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 26 that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So that's the trapper man. And I want to say concerning this trapper man, there's two ways he can attack. There's two ways he can come at you. First of all, he can come at you at a head-on attack, and he can come as a roaring lion. He walketh by as a roaring lion walking about, seeking who he may devour. That's a head-on attack. That's something you can identify. That's something you can see. It's coming. You can know that it is a satanic attack in your life. He comes as a roaring lion. And we can see it coming. But I want to say this. Also, he can come as a subtle serpent. That's what makes me nervous. Brother Lockhart, that's what makes me nervous. He can come as a subtle serpent like he did in the Garden of Eden. And when he does that, I'm telling you, when he comes as a subtle serpent, he ain't trying to trip you up overnight. It's a long-term plan. He has a long-term goal to ruin your marriage. He has a long-term goal to split this church. I mean, he's okay if it just starts with a little bit of gossip. He's okay if it just starts with a little conversation. And if it takes years, he's okay with that. My daddy, he was on a deer lease and catching the coyotes. They had a coyote problem, killing all the fawns. They had no pictures on their deer cameras of any fawns. The coyotes was having a heyday. And he went in there and he was catching them. I mean, piling them up. But he set one trap, and he set the bait. And he knows how to catch them coyotes. But every night, he'd go, the next day when he'd go check that trap, they'd be at one coyote. His tracks would be all around that trap, but he wouldn't get in the trap. That bait appealed to his appetite. He wanted that bait. He was hungry for that bait, but he was cautious. He was cautious. He knew something wasn't right. And I'd be on the roof roofing. He'd go check the trap, and he'd come back and he'd say, he got close, but I didn't catch him. And so the next day he'd check the same trap. I said, you catch him? He said, no, but he was there again last night. And this went on for a week or two. And every day he'd go check it. And that coyote would come and investigate and walk close to the trap, but never would get in the trap. And one morning I said, you catch him? He said, no, but he stepped on the jaw of the trap, half inch over, and he'd been on the pan, and it'd been too bad, so sad for Mr. Wiley Coyote. He got that close. He was interested in the bait. But my daddy, you know what he did? He knew that he was interested. He just left the trap out. We got too many young people interested in the things of this world. They know it's dangerous. They know it's wrong. But they're interested. And it's a long-term plan.
He'll just leave the trial.
You know worldly music, rock and roll music and all that, country music, that ain't right with God. But you're just interested enough to sneak around on your cell phone and listen to it. Amen. And that's what happened. He just leaves the trial there. And eventually you'll fall in it. If you keep walking close to the trap, eventually you'll get in the trap. And that coyote walked too close one night, and he got in the trap. Amen. It's a long-term plan. And so he can come as a subtle serpent. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know what the Bible tells us that we've got to watch out for in the last days? Ministers. Ministers. Ministers transforming themselves into ministers of righteousness, angels of light. These that's got suits on their back and a Bible under their arm, preaching false doctrine. He said that's what, and they'll lead them away, and they'll lead them into a trap. That's what we got to be careful. Subtle, ain't it? I mean, they'll say Jesus in their sermons, and they'll say the word gospel in their sermon, and they'll mention the word Bible in their messages, but they're not of God, and they're not God called preachers. Subtle. There's two types of trappers. There's the fur trapper. They trap animals for their hide. And then there's the bird trapper. And your Bible, when you read your Bible, you'll see this word, fowler. A fowler is a bird trapper. Psalms 91, verse number 3 said, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Proverbs 6, verse 5 said, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. The fowler in the Bible days, he had two techniques. He, could go around, and there wasn't no shotgun in that day. He couldn't shoot them out of the sky. If he's going to eat birds, you had to catch it. You had to trap it. That fowler, he would have a falcon. You ever heard about that? As he would have that falcon trained, and he'd flush up that bird, and that falcon was trained to go and retrieve that bird. And I want to say this, trapper man, he ain't working alone. When he fell, he drew a third of heaven's angels with it. And I doubt that the devil, Lucifer himself, has ever attacked me. And he probably never attacked you. He's got bigger fish to fry than me and you. But there's a lot of devils. And the Bible don't call them demons. The Bible calls them devils. There's a lot of devils. And so this fowler, he has some help. Then another technique is this fowler, he would have a device, a net. He would have that rigged up and he would have some pet birds of the same kind that he was trying to trap, and that would be his pets. He would put out their eyes, maybe, and he would cut their wings where they could not fly off, and they were in bondage to him, and he would put the seed, the bait out on the net, and he'd put that pet bird, those pet birds there, and they was blinded, they couldn't fly, they were in slavery and bondage to him, and they'd eat the seed. The other birds would fly over, and they'd look down and say, well, it must be harmless, must be okay, they're doing it. I mean, it's all right. They're doing it. And they would fly down into the net. And, of course, they would be trapped and they would be in bondage. I want to tell you young people something. Just because everybody else is doing it, don't make it right. You'll come home one day to mom and daddy and say, everybody else is wearing this, and everybody else is dressing like this. You young ladies, you'll come home and tell daddy, say, everybody else at the school's wearing breeches. That don't mean you wear breeches. Ain't that right? Everybody else is wearing shorts and revealing their nakedness. I mean, everybody else is doing it, but it's the blind leading the blind. Don't worry about the majority. Worry about what the Bible said. I mean, God ain't changed His mind on it. You come home one day and you've been invited. You've been invited by the cutest boy. Talk to you young ladies. Invited by the cutest boy at the school to the prom. You'll come home and say, everybody else is going. Everybody else is going. Well, everybody else is going to hell. Ain't that right? The majority of the Bible says going to Broadway. I mean, cause everybody, they'll fly down, they'll fly, and look how everybody else is doing it. God help us. Let's don't go the way of the world. Love not the world, neither things of the world. The Bible said if any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. You're not going to change that verse. God help us. And this day, So that's the two types of trappers. Some things I want to note about the trapper man. Number one, he's persistent. He's persistent. Now, in trapping, there's those that do it just for a hobby. They do it on the side. But there's others that do it for a living, and they call them long line trappers. And then the trapper man, he's a long line trapper. He walks to and fro, up and down in the earth, seeking who he may devour. And he's persistent. That's his goal, is to ruin and wreck your life. He is patient. He'll set a trap and he'll leave it. As long as there's activity around his trap, he'll leave it. I done preached about this. And as long as you're showing interest in these things of the world, he'll leave that trap for you. He'll leave it for you. I don't know why, but young people, they hear preaching in our churches. They hear preaching about about these things like drugs, but yet they'll be interested enough to talk about it. They hear preaching against fornication, but yet they'll listen to music and they'll watch shows on the television that has that in it, or at least it's presenting that message. That's walking close to the trap, ain't it? And we should not even let it not be once named among us. God help us. He's patient. Job 18, verse number 8 said, "For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare." You won't be able to blame the preacher. You won't be able to blame the preacher of this church. You won't be able to blame the preacher of your church. You won't be able to blame mom and daddy. You're going to get in a trap yourself. You'll have to make decisions to stay away. You'll have to walk circumspectly, the Bible said. That's watching every step, Brother Scott. In this world, watching every step, walking circumspectly, the Bible said. He's patient. He only traps in the winter months. He only traps in the cold. And so if you let it get cold in your life spiritually, I'm telling you what's going to happen. The trapper man's going to come. It's in the winter months is when he traps in the cold. So I want to say to you that are saved, don't let it get cold. Read your Bible. Amen. Pray. Maintain your prayer life. Wasn't that good singing? This special singing. That first song, I thought, Brother Harvey, that's a prayer song. Amen. My pastor taught me about them prayer songs. We'd go out in the field across the cow pasture and we'd pray in the night. And I learned this from him. But before you try to enter into holiness, you sang. You sang to the Lord. Nobody else around. Nobody else to hear. But you sang and it prepares your heart. I mean, it ain't getting God's attention, but it prepares your heart to sing, to pray. And that was one of them prayer songs. Amen. And that's what we need. We need people that keep the fires burning. Don't let it get cold. Maintain your prayer life. Anybody that ever quits on God and gets out of church, you know what they do first? They quit praying. It gets cold. It gets winter month. I want to say to this church, don't ever let it get cold. Keep testifying. Come in the house of God prepared to go to meeting. I mean, the pastor, he don't come in here and wing it. He studies throughout the week to preach to you on Sunday morning. He gets prepared. He gets prayed up. You should come in because the same way, prepared. Not prepared to preach, but prepared to testify, prepared to sing, amen, prepared to rejoice. You say, why ain't we got much rejoicing anymore in the house of God? Because we don't have no joy. Rejoicing is the overflow of joy. Rejoicing is the offshoot of joy. And if there's no rejoicing, that means there's no joy. And it's getting cold. It's getting cold. And we go through the winter months, spiritually speaking. It happens at my church, and most of us will survive it. But here's one thing I've learned. I can look around. When the revival fires burn again, we get to shouting again. I mean, we get to weeping over God again. I mean, I look around and say, man, we survived that. But when I look around, even though the majority's there's somebody gone. Not everybody survives the winter months. In church, if you let it get cold, you mark it down. Your services stay cold for 3 months. You'll look around, somebody be gone. Somebody be gone. The trapper man comes in the winter months. Why are we letting our services get cold? Why are we allowing dead services? Well, who does that depend on? I know it takes God. It takes God. You can't make it happen. You can't cause it to happen. But I want to tell you this, that if you come in here prayed up, you come in here prepared, you come in here and give yourself to God with a heart for God, He will show up. He'll show up. Preachers, we need to keep the fire burning. Amen. We need to preach. I say it like this. We need to preach with heaven pressing on our soul and hell burning under our feet. Amen. We need to preach. Keep the fires burning. Really, the preacher, the pastor, he kind of controls the thermostat, spiritually speaking, of the church. I've learned that, pastor, and if I come in defeated, it'll be a defeated service. They read my countenance. They read, and he sets the temperature. Ain't that what happens? So we need to make sure we're right with God. Amen. Because the trapper man, he traps in the winter months. But I want to say about this trapper man, something about him. He's a professional, good at what he does, but there is regulations put on him. My daddy, he's licensed in the state of Tennessee as a trapper, but he can only catch certain animals. If he catches a domesticated animal, he's got to turn it loose. And when he sets his trap, one thing I've seen is the same trap that'll catch a coyote will catch a house dog. And the same trap that'll catch a bobcat will catch a house cat. And I want to say the same trap that'll catch a lost person will catch a saved person. Amen. And we can rejoice. We're good Baptists and we know the truth and the doctrine of eternal salvation. Amen. I'm telling you what, it is a Bible truth. I believe it with every ounce of my being and I rejoice in that. Thank God that He said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But you can get in the trap, and even though you're not going to hell, you'll spend time in the trap. You say, He's got to let me go and He can't keep me. But you spend time in the trap. And when you get in the trap, you suffer damage and you'll never be the same. You may be turned loose, but you're damaged. And you spend time in the trap. My daddy, that's right, ain't a preacher. My daddy, he was trapping about 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I don't know how long. And he's done this plenty of times, but one time in particular, he caught a beagle. You know, beagle, hound dog. And he had more than one trap, and that beagle had a foot in every trap. And when he walked up on that dog, and it's kind of close to some houses, he walked up on that dog, you know, had a collar on it. Amen. He caught some coyotes that day, and he killed them. And he took them. He caught them, and that's what he was trying to catch. But when he caught that beagle dog, he had to let it go. And I'll tell you, when he let that beagle go, and that beagle went away alive, he never walked the same. You can watch him as he walked off. He never walked. He spent a lot of time in a trap. You look in Luke chapter number 15. That prodigal, he went away. He went away from the Father's house. And the Bible said after many days. I mean, it took some time to gather up all of his living. I mean, he had the wagons. He had the mules. He had the donkey. I mean, it was a caravan as he left. But he wasted his substance with riotous living, and when he returned, he come back empty-handed. Right. Amen. You better stay out of the traps. Right. You'll spend time in the trap. You'll suffer damage, and a trap will change you. A trap will change you. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen people so in love with God. I've even seen people that were saved and in church, and they were the family man. You know, it was the daddy that led his family to the house of God. And led his family in devotion, loved on his children. I mean, it was perfect. But he get in a trap, and he's not even coming to visit his children. Y'all know anybody like that? That woman that would get up and sang. I know one woman that comes to mind. I was a member of the same church for years with her. She'd weep, singing that song, "I'm a child of the King." I mean, weep over God. We'd tear that place apart, shout, and she had a touch of God on her life. Every time she'd sing, seemed like God come down. She had a little daughter that would get up right behind her and sing, "I'm a soldier in God's army," and had a pretty voice. She had a son that would constantly come to the altar and pray. Seemed like God was calling him. I thought maybe in the ministry or something. And she got in a trap, went and got a job at the Shoney's. And when she went to the Shoney's restaurant to be a waitress to get some little extra money, hey man, there's a trap waiting on her. And she fell in that trap. There's another man there, a trap. And she fell into that adulterous relationship. And all the family stuff's gone. That one that would have died for her children. Amen. That one that would have given her life and was investing her life in her children. She don't care about that no more. Now, I want to say this. My wife, I know her. She is a godly woman. But I also know that if she gets in the trap, she loves her children. She'd claw your eyes out over one of her children. I mean, she stays at home. She teaches those children. She raises those children. No God. But I do know that if she gets in a trap, all of that will change. I've seen people come in the house of God. I mean, they left one day and they were shouting the victory. Then they come in the next Sunday and they sit on the pew and their countenance has changed. You don't know what's wrong. Their attitude's changed. Everything's changed. Just over a period of days, everything's different now. My daddy, he caught a dog at a different time, and he's going to let that dog go. He had a .22 rifle. I've got it now. Give it to me. I wouldn't take nothing for it. But it was a double long spring trap, and he had the rifle pushing down on one side, and he had a stick pushing down on the other side, and he was kicking that trap. But you know what that dog was doing? That dog wasn't a bit of biscuit before then. I mean, it was a friendly dog, but that dog was growling while he's trying to turn him loose. And preachers will see that member, that person in a trap, and go to set him free, try to give him some help. That one that would have fought you over his preacher, that one that would have stood for his man of God, now he don't even like the preacher. That dog's growling, and he bit that rifle, and I got the rifle, and it's got the teeth marks, and one tooth hit the safety, and the other one pulled the trigger. And there's still a little speck of tooth in the trigger guard of that rifle, and the gun went off the side of his head. It's amazing how families at one time, people at one time loved the church, supported the church, but they get in a little old trap. And now they're out there talking about the church. They're out there running the church and the man of God down. A trap changes you. Say, it won't ever happen to me. Let me let you in on something. They've been better preachers than you this fall. They've been better preachers than me. It's out of the ministry. I ride by when I go to church every Sunday morning, Brother Harvey, a preacher. Man of God. Ride by his house, and he's not going to church. Not only that, but he ain't even preaching. He ain't even dressing right. He ain't even doing right. And I remember one time, me and him standing shoulder to shoulder on a street corner, preaching the gospel. Throwing rocks at the devil. Now he don't even care. The trap will change you. There's been better families than your family. Fallen, they're plumb out of church.
You're right.
So you better wake up, get your head out of sand. There's traps set for you.
Amen.
You better identify it as being a trap. Better not walk close to the trap.
Amen.
There's a trap in your way. I said that, but I want to say this also. You can just be going with God, in the will of God, and there'll still be a trap in your way. Job 18, verse number 10 said that, he said, the snare is laid for him in the ground and a trap for him in the way. A trap for him in the way. Maybe preaching. Maybe far as the church, as being the situation of the church, on fire for God and the best you've ever done. Going for God. As the old preacher says, on a possum trail of the will of God for your life. Couldn't get any better far as your spirituality is concerned. But there'll still be a trap in your way. I got a preacher friend of mine. He was going visiting and knocking on doors. He was in the way. I mean, in God's way, doing God's work. Knocked on a door and had another preacher with him, knocked on the door. They was going to visit a man, and one vehicle was missing. He went up to the door just to see if he was home. That man's wife come to the door, and you said, nothing wrong with that. And that man's wife said, well, come on in. He ain't here. He ain't gonna be here till late this evening. Just come on in. You say, what's the deal? She is standing there in her underwear, basically. Come on in. A trap for him in the way. There, that preacher, I know him at the time, he is evangelist. Now he's pastoring a good church. I mean, he's got people that love him, follow him, got a great ministry. But there, in a moment in time, in just a few seconds, he had to make a decision. You know what was on her mind, and he had to make a decision standing on that porch, and everything on the line. The ministry on the line. His marriage on the line. A trap in the way. You wouldn't think that happened on visitation, would you? Serving God. The old preacher, y'all know him. He probably has preached here before. I don't tell the whole story, it takes too much time, but he checked into his motel room preaching a revival, putting his clothes up and opened the dresser drawer, and there's a pornographic magazine. There it is. He done saw too much. A seasoned man of God, and he done saw too much. And the temptation was there. A trap in the way. A trap in the way. You say, well, that's really not that dangerous. One of the most notorious serial killers that ever was in this country. You know how it started? It's playing in his front yard. Little boy playing in the yard, just like your boy plays in the yard. Lived close to the road, and out in the ditch was a pornographic magazine. He looked at it. He hid it. He looked at it for days. He kept it for years. It triggered something in his mind he could never get over. He went on to ruin and ravish lives. A trap set for that young boy. He wasn't always a serial killer. He wasn't always what he became. He was once a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy playing in the front yard. But there's a trap in the way. I don't have time to preach all of it. I don't feel like the Lord wants me to preach it all. There's different kind of traps. There's unseen traps. The Bible talks about how that falleth suddenly upon you. There's different lures. There's different baits. A lure appeals to your mind. The bait appeals to your appetite. When you're standing in line at Walmart about to check your food out and pay for your food, that all around you, that's a lure. When you're driving up the interstate and you see the big billboards, that's a lure. Young people, when you see the flashing lights and the neon signs and you see them laughing and partying and drinking and it seems like having a good time, that's a lure. That's a lure. The devil will show you the glory of sin. That ain't the right word. The glamour. That's the right word. He'll show you the glamour of sin.
That's right.
But he'll not show you the glory.
Yeah.
He'll show you the lure. And he's trying to get you to the bait. And the bait gets you in a trap. When you get in the trap, you can drop the bait.
Yeah.
How many people you know that was addicted to alcohol?
Yeah.
Drunks, alcoholics. And they quit drinking, but they're still in the trap. Just because you quit drinking don't get you out of trap. How many people you know addicted to prescription medicine? And they quit it. Still in the trap. Don't get you out of the trap.
You're right.
No telling how many times we went and checked our traps and have a dead carcass there, some kind of meat there, and there'd be a bobcat in the trap, and the meat not even be touched. He just grabbed it long enough to get in the trap, dropped it. He didn't want it no more. I want to tell you something, man. The grass is not always greener on the other side. You'll get on the other side and find out it's still grass. It's still life. Oh, if I could have that life, it'd be a better life. It'll still be life. Amen. Still be life. You get down there at the factory and it starts off, you share a bag of tater chips with some young lady and you have just a conversation there. And then you start doing that every lunch break. Then you exchange phone numbers and you start text messaging. And before you know it, you're Facebook friends. Then one day, you and your wife get in an argument. Who are you going to run to? You know what that is? That's a trap set for you. God help us to know these things. There's three, and I want to say, let me read this. The drug addict, I wrote this in my notes. The drug addict gets on drugs and spends the rest of his life trying to get off drugs. See, he shows you the lures and the baits, but he don't show you the trap. Amen. And behind the lure and behind the bait, it's a trap. I mean, he gets on drugs, he starts on drugs, and it's a way of partying. Then he spends the rest of his life trying to, it's ruined his life. It show you them young people. It seemed like they're having a good time. But you push fast forward and go 15, 20 years in the future. He's that fella that's no count. He's got a dirty needle in his vein. Eat up with hepatitis C. Already been married 3 or 4 times. And children scattered all over the county. Ain't that right? Am I telling it right? So the harlot spends the rest of her life looking for a decent man that'll love her. The sinner drops the bait, he reforms, but he's still in the trap. Now I want to say this, there's a trap of condemnation, a trap of religion, and you can drop that bait, and you'll still be in a trap. Just because you're in a religious system don't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you're in a religious system, you can still be lost, amen. You say, I'm a member of a church, it don't make you saved. God help us. There are three types of traps, and I'm going to be done. First of all, there's the holding trap. There's a holding trap. I want to talk about the holding trap. I want to talk about the live trap. Then I want to talk. I'll close this evening with a killing trap. First, there's the holding trap. You've seen foothold traps, like we catch coyotes, bobcats with, and the devil. He has some holding traps of his own, and there's different sizes of holding trap. I mean, there's different holding powers. They're not all the same. I mean, some of the traps you can probably get yourself out of. I mean, if you started chewing tobacco or smoking cigarettes, you might can quit on your own. You can get yourself out of some traps. But I want to say there's other traps that's got stronger holding powers that you can't get yourself out of. And these holding traps are designed to hold you till the trapper man comes. And that's what the foothold trap does. It holds the bobcat there till we get there. Then it's over when we get there. So it's a holding trap. Alcohol and drugs, that's a holding trap. It has holding power. Amen. Pornography is a holding trap. False religion is a holding trap. I want to say this. This thing of fornication, that's a holding trap. And I would say that fornication is the strongest holding trap that there is. Proverbs 6, verse 32 said, "But whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." Not talking about the part you goes to heaven or hell. It's talking about your emotions. It's talking about your mind. It's talking about your will. It destroys that. Does damage to that that can never be repaired. That's what fornication does. He said, "He that does it, he destroys his own soul." Yeah, amen. What was intended for you to give as a gift to the one you marry is robbed from you. And you can never get that back. Yeah, never get that back. Proverbs 6, verse 27, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, the Bible said, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." It's a holding trap. "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Don't say, young man, it's still right.
That's right.
Amen. It's right for a young man to be a virgin when he gets married. It's right for a young lady to be a virgin when she gets married.
Amen.
And I want to say, the Bible said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Right. I wonder what that means. That means don't touch until the preacher says you can join hands.
Amen.
Ain't that what that means? Ain't that how you interpret it? You don't touch, you don't hold hands, you don't put your arm around her until the preacher says you can unite hands when you're standing for the preacher to get married.
Amen.
Amen. Why? nevertheless, to avoid fornication. You got to avoid it. You got to stay away from it. You got to flee from it. You got to make sure that you make no provision for the flesh. You don't get called along together. You don't ever shut the door. Ain't that right? Amen. Then there's the live trap. A live trap is designed to relocate. They called my daddy, and not long ago, they called him, won't get a raccoon out of the attic. You know what he does? He gets that cage. It's got the trap, you know, the trap door, and it's got the trigger, the little plate. He goes in there and he sets that live trap up. And he catches that Mr. Raccoon and he relocates him. Takes him somewhere else. And a live trap is designed to relocate you. You know, the devil, he has live traps set for you. He wants to relocate you and get you out of this church. He'd rather you go to the charismatic church. The devil'd rather for you to go down there at the charismatic church. The devil wants you to go to a place where they preach work salvation. He don't want you here where they preach salvation by grace, through faith, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's going to try to get you mad at the preacher. Amen. I mean, the preacher's going to get up here and he's going to say something wrong. He's a man. He's a man. You give him enough time, he's going to mess up and say something wrong. It's going to offend you. It's going to hurt your feeling. And the devil's going to set a trap and try to get you out of this church, relocate you. He's going to try to relocate you out of your home and cause your marriage to end in divorce. A good trapper man, when he goes in, he's only got one chance at it. And if Mr. Raccoon comes up there and he sees that trap and there's the sardines and there's the marshmallow and there's the honey bun inside and that appeals to his appetite and he wants that, he'll shake that cage. And if that trap door shuts and closes without him inside the cage, he'll never be back. He'll identify that as a trap. He'll say, I seen it coming. I know there's something up with that. And he'll never be back. My daddy, what he'll do, he'll tie the door open where it can't shut. He'll feed Mr. Raccoon for a couple of days, get him used to going in and out of the cage, in and out of the cage. Then one day when he ain't looking, he'll come and he'll set the trap, untie the door. Mr. Coon will go in there like he's always went in. But that day the door shut. See, that's what you're doing at the factories. You're saying, well, we're just eating tater chips together. Hey, man, we're just eating lunch together. And the door's never going to shut. We're just text messaging one another. We're just friends. What business do you have, sir, being friends with another woman? Amen. What business do you have being Facebook friends with another woman that's not in your family? You say, well, she goes to my church, that makes it worse. You say, I don't think the door ever shut. You want me to give you a few examples? True stories? You can give a few, couldn't you? Preacher, you know a few. The door's never going to shut. Here's what you do. You have the surgery and you're in pain. And you need the relief. But what about when the pain's over? But the pill bottle's still full. And we as good Baptists, we have this way of tricking and deceiving our own self. You can make it without them. I know about doctors, and we need doctors and we need medicine. I know about that. But you know when you don't need it. I don't think the door ever shut. Before you know it, you're trying to get a different brand. You're trying to get a better high. Before you realize that you're a drug addict. I didn't think the door would shut, but it'll shut on you. And it'll relocate you. And then you'll be plumb out of the house of God. That's that live trap. Looking on the Internet, there better be some accountability. If you have internet, I'm not preaching against internet. We have a church website so that I can't say not have it anymore. That's a hard place to be in. If I didn't have that, boy, I'd knock the black out of it. Amen. God help us. But there better be some accountability. They got it set up now where Your spouse comes and checks you out. That's what you better have. That's what you better have. I don't think that'd be a problem. It'd be a problem. How do you know, preacher? Me and my pastor. I was looking for a... I don't have internet at my house now. This is the reason why I don't. I was looking... I had it one time. I was looking for a street preaching video. And there's a certain preacher. And I'd already watched the video. And I was wanting to show my pastor. And we was Googling it. And there it was. There was the title. And when I clicked on it, somebody had set a trap. It was a bad deal. And boom, right there on the screen, froze. And the pastor said, oh no, it got us, didn't it? And we was pushing buttons and we was turning over tables. We was kicking computers off on the floor. That was the end of the computer, end of the hard drive, end of everything I had on my hard drive. We didn't recover nothing. It was a trap. It was a trap. Then I want to close with this. To you that are lost, there's killing traps. There's live traps, there's holding traps, and there's killing traps. And what the devil would like for you to do is die before you get saved. That's what he wants you to do. You say, I'll get saved on down the road. When I sow my wild oats, you may not get a chance to sow them. And when you die, that's a conclusion. The way you die is the way you're going to meet God. If you die lost, you're going to be lost when you stand before God. No changing it after that. The jailhouse preacher there in Grundy County where I was raised up at, old Brother Davenport's preaching to a young man. Preaching in the county jail, and this young man there, I knew him when I was a boy. And there, we'd grown up, and he's in jail. And he was preaching to Tommy. And it appeared that Tommy was under conviction, and Brother Davenport was talking to him there after the service. And Tommy, he rejected, he refused. But he said, I tell you what, I'll promise you, preacher. I'll promise you that I'm going to come to your church next. I'm going to come next Sunday. And Brother Davenport, he wasn't a pastor, but that's where he went to church. He said, I'll come to your church next Sunday. I'm getting out of jail this week. And Sunday never came. Never come for Tommy. Tommy driving down the road. He got out of jail just like he thought, driving down the road. They went off the road, and I talked to the man that lived on the hill. He said he jumped on his motorcycle. He heard the crash. He was down there in a few seconds. And he said Tommy was already dead. Tommy flung out in eternity, and Tommy's in hell this evening while I'm preaching. He had the last call. God said in Proverbs 1, I called and you refused. I stretched forth my hand, and no man regardeth it. You said it not all of my counsel with none of my reproof. He said, and also I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction as a whirlwind. He said, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you'll call on me, and I'll not answer. There'll be a day when you say no to God, you'll say no for the last time. You may be here, you may have your daddy fooled, you may have your mama fooled, you may have the church fooled, but you don't have God fooled. You may be religious, but be lost. You've never been born again. And if you die tonight, you go to hell. That's what the trapper man wants you to do. You could die tonight. You say, you try to scare me, and I'm just trying to tell you the truth. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. That you're alive today, but dead tomorrow. Here today, but gone tomorrow. The rich man dies. The poor man dies. The old man dies. The young man dies. You're going to die. You can't cancel your appointment. You can't reschedule your appointment. You cannot be late for your appointment. You're going to die. You're going to die. Man, young man in my family. Went to his daddy. He's under conviction. Like I said, we didn't know nothing about church. And he didn't know Bible terms. He told his daddy, he said, I'm nervous, daddy. I don't know what's wrong with me. He said, I feel like I need to go to church. And his daddy didn't go to church. They agreed to go next Sunday. There's three of them going to go. Daddy showed up. The other man showed up. But that young man under conviction, he didn't show up. They did not go to church, and that week, he died. That week he died, and he's probably in hell, never been born again. It's a killing trap set for you. A killing trap set for you in a way. If you're here this evening, you're not saved. You need to realize that. You're not going to live forever. You may not have to next Sunday. You may not make it home. You may be on the way home and get all the way over on the shoulder of the road and be hit head on by a drunk driver. He's got the Superman attitude thinking that happens to everybody else. One day it's going to happen to you. That happens to everybody else. That ain't going to happen to me. Everybody else gets cancer. I don't get cancer. One day it's going to happen to you. One day it's going to be reality in your life. You're not exempt. One day you're going to die. You're going to die. Preacher, you come. I'm done. But I want to tell you, let me tell you this, why he's coming. You can be rescued if you're in the trap. Amen. You can be rescued. Jesus is the one that can get you out of the trap. He can deliver you from the hand of the trapper man. He can set you free from that bondage. Come to Jesus tonight. Run to Him. Whatever is in your life, whatever you've fallen victim to, you should come to Christ. He wants you to. He probably wants it worse than you want it. He wants to save you probably more than you want to be saved. If you're here lost, He'll save you tonight. He'll give you eternal life. It'll change your life. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? There's a killing trap up the way. This time tomorrow, you may be dead and in hell. In hell. Like the rich man, the Bible said he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments.